Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
During the season of Easter, we're looking at the parables. We've been looking at the parables of Jesus, and we're looking at the parables through the lens of Easter. What does it mean to us now, hearing these stories, living on this side of the resurrection, as people that are ushering into the kingdom of God? How does it reveal something about our journey and about what does it mean to be Christians on this side of Easter? We've talked about parables as a way of shedding light, a different kind of light, on our lives. Instead of just telling us, it tells a story that allows us to see behind what's really happening. And so we talked last week about a parable is some kind of an earthy story, something that we all kind of understand the mechanism of it, but it has a deep spiritual truth to it. The word parable comes from two Greek words, para, which means alongside, and barole, which means to throw. So literally, it means to throw alongside. And so it's an idea of showing a comparison. It tells a story in order to illuminate some idea or something that is being presented. So the thing that we want to ask then is, what is the idea that is being presented? This morning, we're going to talk about the story of the landowner found in Matthew chapter 20. But I need to set up the story for you a little bit in order to understand the parable. If you don't understand what Jesus is trying to illuminate, then the parable loses some of its meaning. In Matthew chapter 19, a man comes to Jesus, and it's the rich young man that you've probably heard before, and he comes to Jesus and he says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, you know the commandments, do the commandments." He said, "I've done all of that." Jesus said, "There's one more thing that you lack," and he says, "Sell all that you have and then come follow me." And that was just too much. And he goes away sad. But this story is not lost on the disciples that are watching this all unfold. And finally, Peter comes up to him and he says, "Lord, we have left everything to follow you. What will there be for us? What's in it for us?" And Jesus gives a little bit of teaching, and he said, anybody that has left family or possessions in order to follow me will receive 100 times in the kingdom that is to come. But he ends that little dialogue by saying, but remember this, the first will be last, and the last will be first. And then he tells a parable. This parable that we're going to look at is going to illuminate that central idea that is core. And the question is, as all of the disciples, as we sit around here this morning, are we ready for what Jesus is presenting to us? Are we ready to adopt that idea of the first will be last and the last will be first? As we open up the scriptures, let it speak to us. Will you join with me as we center our lives on God's word? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. I'm reading from Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus tells this parable in order to answer Peter's question. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in the vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." Now, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So, the first will be last. The last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, illuminate us this morning to the power of Jesus' message and his testimony. Help us to embrace it, and may it become part of our own faith journey. In Jesus' name, amen. Basically, we have to ask ourselves out of this parable, is God fair? The central core of what's going on here is you had people that began work early in the morning and had worked out in the vineyard all day. They had agreed to work for a landowner for a denarius. But the landowner kept going back and kept hiring more at different times, and more people kept coming into the vineyard. And so at the end of the day, when they all came in to get paid what they had agreed to, the landowner had given them all the same amount. Now, from our own economy and our own social structure, we would have to agree that isn't fair. That those that worked 1 hour got paid exactly what those that had worked all day long. And that's the central core of what Peter is asking. A young man had come to Jesus and said, what must I do? And Jesus said, well, then come follow me. And Peter's kind of saying, wait a minute, are you sure? We have been following you all this time. What's in it for us? Are you going to just accept this young man who's come out of nowhere? What's in it for us? What do we get out of this? And so this parable addresses Jesus' concern for Peter of saying, Peter, why are you doing all of this? The central focus of this parable is about grace. Can you stand the power of grace, not only when it affects you, but when it affects everybody else, when it impacts those that are around you, when other people receive grace, when you had expected perhaps judgment or condemnation? Can you embrace the power of grace? More importantly, Jesus is addressing something that is beginning to seep into the disciples, and you hear it in Peter's words. There is a tendency for us to get on a slippery slope that moves from a heart that is full of gratitude and slides carefully into a critical spirit of expectancy or entitlement. Peter's saying, we've left everything. Don't we get something special? Isn't there a special place for us? So Jesus tells this parable about a man who is a landowner. And in that time, people would gather in the marketplace, much like migrant workers. And landowners would come and they would hire whatever they needed for the day to go out into their fields. But if you didn't get hired, you didn't eat. You didn't have any hope for that day. You had to find somebody that was willing to hire you to find a purpose in life. If you've ever been in that situation, maybe when you were a kid in elementary school, and we've all seen these pictures where all of the kids gather together and they decide to choose up teams for softball or some game, and there's this anxiety, am I ever going to be picked, or am I going to be picked the very last person? There's a sense about, do we have a purpose, and who's going to choose me? The first thing that Jesus wants us to know about our own faith journey, about who we are as brothers and sisters in Christ, is simply that our life comes from God's invitation. God is the one who invites us. God seeks us out and says, come, work in my vineyard. Have a purpose. Have a mission. And he goes back time and time again. Even though the landowner had gone the first time and hired everybody that he needed, he keeps going back and saying, I have compassion on them because they have nothing to do. They have no hope and they have no meaning. So he goes back time and time again and he draws more people into his vineyard, asking them to get involved in what he's doing, and he will pay them at the end of the day. There's a sense that all of our lives, all that we have, everything that we are as brothers and sisters in Christ is a gift. It is something that God has invited you to be a part of. But there is a tendency for all of us to begin to switch, to begin to make that transition from, look at what God has given to me, to mentally begin to say, look at what I have earned. And so the disciples at the end beginning to think, but Lord, what is in it for us? The second idea of this is that God gives us gifts, not wages. We find that at the end of the story, all of the workers begin to come in, and he begins to pay, beginning with those that worked only 1 hour, and he gives them a denarius. Well, obviously, the people at the back of the line are starting to think, this is fantastic. If he's giving them a denarius, just imagine what he's going to give me, because I've been here all day working. And when they show up, they get just a denarius, and they begin to get angry and say, I wanted more. I deserved more. And what they're realizing is that they're not just working for the master, they were only working for the pay. And the master says, don't you realize? I want to be generous. Am I not allowed to be generous with what I have? He sees all of these people, some that have no job, some that are looking for purpose in life, some that are looking for meaning, and he invites them in. And those that have been working all day begin to grumble. You see, what Jesus is saying is in the kingdom of God, saints and sinners that receive that call, they eat at the same table. It's interesting that in Matthew's gospel, the very first person that really recognizes who Jesus is, the power or the message, is that old Saint Simeon. Remember that story that as Mary and Joseph take the baby Jesus for dedication to the temple? There is Simeon, who has spent his entire life praying and fasting, longing for to see the Messiah that has come. And he calls out, he said, my eyes have finally seen the power of thy salvation. Simeon has given his entire life in order to see this moment. But Matthew bookends his entire story by saying the second or the last person who truly recognized who Jesus was a thief on the cross. Not a great saint, but a sinner condemned to death. And he looked at Jesus and said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise. Simeon and the thief on the cross will sit at the same table. And the question is can we stand that kind of grace? Can we stand the generosity that God has in store for all of us? You see, the new reality that Jesus is telling us is that there is a new reality based on grace, based on what God is doing. And the question that we have to ask is, can we stand what God is trying to do? Can we give that grace away to people that are just coming in the door? Can we move away from a scorecard kind of mentality saying, I've done all of these things, don't I get some special place in heaven? To a place where the person that just came in last, anybody that comes to our fellowship, and Jesus says, the first will be last. Anybody that says, but I've been a long-time member, he says, fantastic, get to the end of the line. If we start measuring ourselves by our scorecards, by what we've done, by how long we've done it, Jesus said, take your pay and go. You've missed the point. But when we recognize that even our calling was God's gift to us over the years, we celebrate what we've got. We celebrate the new workers that were allowed to come in. I love this quote that was given by Stephen Maraboli. He said, when we replace a sense of service and gratitude with a sense of entitlement and expectation, we quickly see the demise of our relationships, our society, and our economy. When we stop being appreciative, when we expect more from people and from ourselves, our relationships begin to deteriorate, especially on Mother's Day, when we gather to celebrate the gift of grace that was given to us. We celebrate it. We give thanks to God for these people that have changed our lives. The central question that Jesus is asking of his disciples and of us as we continue this journey is, grace has been given to you, amazing grace. Can you stand to be part of God's grace, not only when it affects you, but when it affects the people that are around you? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the power of your grace that has transformed our lives. And we pray, oh God, that we can continue to give it away, share it abundantly and joyfully with all those that are still waiting to find the message of Christ, the service and the calling upon their lives. Help us, oh God, this morning and all through our lives to share joyfully what you have given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.